What's new? Since the last time we were here. Almost nothing, right? If you remember, the last time we were here, it was March 17th. March 17th, we had a lady named Sue. Sue Eichelberger gave the message. And it was very impactful for me. So actually today, it's funny, because it provides a really nice bookend to that message, like a part two almost. And it's the third part of our rededication of the bridge and kind of who we are and what we are and all of this. And today actually turns out to be kind of a family meeting-ish kind of day. It's gonna look a little bit different because usually what we do here is we go verse by verse through a book and we're right in the middle of 1 John. But we're taking a break from 1 John. And I didn't know why we were in 1 John. I never do. I just kind of, we pick, and then it turns out to be as
timely as it can be. It becomes part of what's happening in the world. And that's a really interesting, cool thing. And 1 John's no different. So that led really nicely into this. And so today, what we're going to talk about is this third part of the rededication of the bridge, and personally, my own reckoning in all of this. And sometimes when you hear words like that, you think that there's guilt or shame involved, and there's none of that with me, because there's none of that with Jesus. There's no guilt and there's no shame in Jesus. There was a call here for the bridge to happen, and every decision that we've made was very, very, very intentional. Every step along the way, and to do it all over again, I would. But now, that's not to say that things are going to stay the same. Things aren't going to stay the same. We are not so arrogant as if that we would hold on, so tightly as if we haven't changed, as if the world hasn't changed, as if the call might not have changed, or if things haven't progressed. The Bible moves in clicks. The law that was given in Exodus on the mountain is different from the call that we've been given after Jesus' resurrection. Things move, and we couldn't understand grace without the law. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. The Bible is about movement. It's about clicks. So why couldn't or wouldn't we? You know, what a ridiculous thing to think that we are the finished product. You know, 8 years ago when we started, that was the finished product and that it was never going to change from here. So we're not that arrogant. We don't hold on so tightly. The Bible doesn't hold on that tightly, so we won't either. So moving forward, there are two ways in which the bridge will change. And the first one will make you very, very happy. Can we have some slides? This is one of those days where we just got so excited to see each other that sometimes you forget to put a microphone on. Or in my wife's case, that you would forget that you even have responsibilities. It's 10:30 and it comes and goes. Okay, isn't that pretty? Okay, the first way that we'll be very, very happy is the community. The ethos of the bridge, and if you've ever heard the manifesto, we are a missional community, and the mission statement is all over everything. It's all over the handout brochure out there, it's on the bulletin, and it's on the website, it's all over the place. So we are a missional community, and we are a close-knit family. Now, number two has been largely ignored by me, and there have been lots of examples, but one that's really good is whenever people bring ideas to me about how ways we can get together here, I say, I don't want to do that. Love your neighbors. Go love somebody. You've heard that from me before. For 8 years, and I have been like that. But the problem is that has created a sort of disconnect between us that was exposed in quarantine. We went our separate ways, and we didn't have the connections to keep us all together. So I hear that, I notice that, and this will now lead to more focus and opportunity to do that, to walk into community, to building that family thing where we know things about each other, where we care about each other enough to make a phone call when the world shuts down for 4 months, right? So that's how it's going to happen. There is a group that happens here called a vision group, and I am, if you know of anybody in that group, what I do, my principal role in that group is to say no. So I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get out of the way. We will develop the relationships in this place. We will have more of a focus and an opportunity on that. I will get out of the way. So that will be cool. That will be a really cool thing to see how that operates here. There will be more opportunity. There will be more focus there. So one, we are very happy there. Number two, you won't be quite so happy because growth is very often uncomfortable and we hold very tightly to our comfort, right? How about it? Here's the thing. All of this thing, most of the problem with the quarantine has been people telling us what to do and we hate it. People telling us to wear masks, and we hate anybody telling us to do anything, and masks are uncomfortable, right? Everybody knows it, and you're hot, your mouths are hot here, and it's blowing into your glasses, and we hate to be uncomfortable. However, this is part of the call. This is part of the call. In Matthew 28, therefore, you may have heard this verse before here, therefore, go, which is translated as you are going, nothing new here, as you are going about your lives, as you are going about your day, as you are going about living your life, touching the people that you touch, go and make disciples of all the nations. Make disciples, that's part of it. And that's a really interesting word. That's a really interesting thing that we're going to start to explore in this here. There is an order. There is a divine order to the Bible. And when I say that, I mean the individual books, the individual letters, and the whole library of them together. The Bible is set up with an order that makes sense. Can we see that order? Number one, the condition. There was a fall in Genesis 3, okay? And that's when sin got introduced. We'll talk a lot more about sin in a second, but that's when sin was introduced, and the law, the Torah, all of the commands in the Old Testament, the 613 mitzvot, which were 613 things you had to do to make God happy, were all in relation to that condition of us. And what happened was we were exposed that we couldn't meet those things, so things are broken and we can't fix them. We can't swim to Hawaii. So number two, what God has done, that's grace. That's Jesus. That's the gospel. That's Jesus Christ and the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the fixing of everything. Now, if one isn't big, two isn't big. If your condition, if you owe $5 and somebody pays it for you, that's not that big of a deal. If you owe $5 million and somebody pays it for you, that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big gift. So without one, two becomes much smaller. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ becomes much smaller, right? What Jesus did becomes much smaller. And then if that's small, number three, there's no life change in that, right? If we don't get the bigness of the gift that's been given to us, our lives don't change and we don't start to live with a sense of gratitude, right? All of these things build on each other, okay? We have had an 8-year focus on number two because I love it. Because I have had my life changed and turned upside down. My one was huge, so my two is huge. My one, I live from a place of a self-loathing, not good enough place. I have these voices in my head from the time I can remember, telling me you're not good enough, you can't do it, rah 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 rah. That's my default. But then I had Jesus come along and say, "Hey, you belong here." Everything changed, and now my whole life is a response to that. Okay, but we had to make some decisions here on how we were, the posture that we were going to teach. And we did that very intentionally because there's an awful lot of false teaching on this. An awful lot of false teaching. And you've probably heard it with it's more of a faith plus. It's a faith plus what you do. It matters what you do. It's not a Jesus alone. It's not a faith alone. It's a faith plus you got to get your act together, right? We all know that. And from that springs so much abuse in the church. If you've been in the church for any amount of time, hopefully not here, but for an amount of time, you've been abused by this kind of false teaching, this false theology of a plus, making Jesus small so we can make us big, right? Because then it's about what I do and if I'm awesome enough, okay? So that was a good part. The good part is we needed to set the record straight on number two. We needed to set the record straight on Jesus, on the gospel, on grace, on this gift. So that's what we do. But the bad part is, the other part is, I didn't want to focus on one. I didn't want to talk about sin. And I didn't want to talk about what we have to do now. Right? I just wanted to say, hey, man, we're rescued. That's great. And that's what I did for 8 years. Now, the good part is we went verse by verse through the Bible, so sometimes I had to. Sometimes I had to because we're honest here. But the other thing is, I didn't want to be seen as judgy, right? I didn't want to be a judgy guy. And I didn't want to be misunderstood about things. And if I was going to be misunderstood, it was going to be on the line of, you don't have to do anything. I wanted to eliminate any misunderstandings that could come with a plus rather than the other way, be misunderstood. You know what I mean? And misunderstood to make Jesus small. If I was going to be misunderstood, if there was going to be questions, if there was going to be a problem, it was going to be because my Jesus was so big. That was going to be it, right? But there were many, many lessons, promptings along the way that I missed. And there were many, many more that I ignored, right? And there were some very recently, some highly impactful moments where I was misunderstood anyway. And these moments and these years have confronted and convicted me. It's like that thing, you know, where you know something over and over and over. You know it, but you don't change, right? I know I shouldn't eat so much cake. It's part of the problem why I gained a little weight in quarantine, because I really like to eat cake. But the thing is, I know I shouldn't eat so much, but I still really like to eat some cake. So I still eat that cake, right? But there comes that moment when the pain of changing is finally less than the pain of staying the same, right? Because we have to choose. There is a pain involved with changing anything because it involves getting out of our comfort zone. It involves growing. It's the best example is kids. When they grow, they sleep and they wake up and they're sore all over the place because there's growing pains. There is no growth without pain. I'm sorry. That's how it goes. That's the way we're set up. So there is a pain to change anything. But sometimes the pain of staying the same gets so big we have to change, right? That's it. That's where I am. I can see now where I've been mistaken. I can see now where I've been behind. I can see now where I've been late to the click, okay? So now it's time to repent, and that's what I'm doing. That's what today's all about, repentance, my repentance. So today is about my repentance and our growth, right? Because we're walking together in this. We're walking together. These things are inexplicably tied. Nobody does anything That's why the facade of a victimless crime is such a joke. It's such a joke. The things you do matter to me, right? The things everybody does matter because we're all connected, right? We're all children of God. We're all connected. What we do, nothing is done in a vacuum. So here, we repent, I repent, and we grow. So we're ready to walk into things. Now, let's take a break and breathe. And now I'll say, we really love our sin. Right? We really, really love our sin. And I hate to say the word still. When I say, I wrote it, and I try and write every other word around it. I try and change the words around so I don't have to actually say the word sin because I hate it. I hate to say it. But the thing is, we love it. We love it. We love it. We hang on to it. We protect it. We choose it. We need our sin. And by sin, nothing has changed. It's an archery term. And it's still that place where we miss the mark. Okay? That's what sin is. It's the place. It's that stuff that we have in our lives that make us love us less. It's the thing that I do that makes me love me less. It's that thing that takes me apart. That's what I mean when I say sin. And let's be very, very clear about that. Okay? God doesn't do these things. Doesn't say don't do this because God wants to take anything from us. He wants to give us life. So these are the things that take our lives. These are the things that make our lives hell. And he doesn't want that for us. That's what sin is, okay? So we hang on to this. So the question is, why do we do that? And now, since we're here, I have a song for you. I get to play a song for you. I'm so happy. So here's the song. And I want you to get it's a cool video. It's a great song, but this meaning fits right today. So let's have a song.
No thank you is what I should have said. I should be in bed, but temptations of trouble on my tongue. Trouble's yet to come.
One sip,
bad for me.
One hit,
bad for me.
One kiss,
bad for me. But I give in so easily. And no thank you is how it should have gone. I should stay strong. They call me after dark. I don't want no part. My habits, they hold me like a grudge. I promise I won't budge.
One sip,
bad for me.
One hit,
bad for me.
One kiss,
bad for me. But I give in so easily. And no thank you is how it should have gone. I should stay strong. For me.
One hit.
Bad for me.
One kiss.
bad for me, but I give in so easily. And no thank you is how it should have gone. I should stay strong.
That's the best song, right? That's the best song. But that's the thing. There's such a truth to that. We fall for that. And we know that it's not the best thing for us, but we fall for that. But boy, I love it when I do. I love it when I do, right? So why do we do that? Because it feels good, or because it looks like freedom, or because we have a rebellious spirit, or because we want to, just because we want to, or whatever. There's tons of reasons why we do that, but the answer to this, and this is the condition that we're talking about, and the answer to this is we need to love something more than our sin. We need to love something more than the things that take us apart, right? We have choices. And I go back to food and working out all the time because it's such a big part of my life and it's such a struggle. And it really, you have cake and a sedentary lifestyle in this hand. And then you have health and fitness in this one. Which one do you love more? Right? To get rid of this one, you need to love this one more. You need to have a yes. We need to have a yes. We need a why to begin. And that's why this divine order is so important. And why there's such wisdom in how the whole of the scriptures is set up. So we'll come back to this. And now this is going to get really, really personal. We stayed away from the word sin. We are 8 years old. The bridge is. And I bet you, this is probably true. Maybe you guys can, the people that started in my house can probably answer this. I don't know that I said the word for 4 years. I don't know that I even said the word for 4 years. I know I didn't say the word church for two. I know that. Because there's so much baggage, right? There's so much baggage on that. And because of the past, because of the way that it's been used, because of all of the judgment that comes from it, and I didn't want to appear judgmental. I didn't want to be a judgy guy. I wanted the doors open, because often judgy can be a closed door. That can feel like a closed door. So I wanted the doors wide open. But what I've learned is, this is what I've learned. Judgment, most often, is an inside job, right? We know. We've already decided. We've already passed judgment when we do things like hide, or when we do things like lie, or we do things like we avoid this. We avoid certain people because we don't want to talk about that stuff. We've passed the judgment on ourselves. We make the decision on what we think about whatever, right? You know what I mean? Here's a great example. Nobody ever keeps it quiet when they eat a salad, right? Does anybody keep that quiet? Well, yeah, I had a salad today. But if you eat a whole pack of Oreo cookies, that happens in the middle of the night, right? The Bible, you always know what's happening because the Bible will start a lot of verses and say, in the middle of the night. And then you know something isn't going right. My dad always used to say to me, nothing good happens after 2 a.m. And I would roll that all the way back because I go to bed at 9. Nothing good happens after 10 because I'm already sleeping by then. But that's just me. I'm not that guy. But the thing is, the things that happen in the middle of the night are the things that we'd really like to keep quiet. I'm not talking about privacy. everybody understands there's things private. We're not advertising everything. But there are those things that we are intentionally hiding. There are places that have fences where you can't see who's parking there, and that's very, very intentional. If you understand my meaning, there are these things that come in brown paper bags because we can't have anybody seeing that we have them. We've already judged that thing that we do. I don't have to. Nobody else has to. And in my life, I find the stuff out. Everybody finds out. Nothing ever stays hidden. All of the lies that you've ever told have all come out, right? Let's be fair. They've all come out, and you have to deal with it, and it's a pain in the neck, and it hurts, and relationships get broken all up. But when this happens in my life, and it happens, when somebody then confesses or whatever, or I find out, I don't have to think about it at all. I don't have to even consider if it's a thing that's wrong, good or bad, or I don't have to assign any kind of judgment. I just feel sad because you think that there's something you feel like you have to hide. I don't even have to consider it, but you're living up, and I've done it. I've done it a million times. I keep things, and I know the weight of those things. So when that happens, I don't have to think, oh man, you shouldn't be doing that. I think, oh no, I'm sorry that you're in that space, right? You know what I'm talking about? Because doing something that makes us feel like we have to hide it, that we somehow convince ourselves that we have to keep that a secret, makes us love us less. There's a weight to that. There's baggage to that, right? It adds anxiety. It adds a level of anxiety to our lives and on our shoulders because things aren't perfect and I have to really put on that they are, right? And there's baggage. There's weight to that. That we think it's wrong is damaging us. And it's really, really hard to live like that. Would you agree? Really, really hard to live. Just me. I know it's just me. But it's really hard. Me and Kathy. It's really hard to live like that. And the cool part, what the gospel says is you don't have to. We don't have to live like that. We don't have to. And we really, really don't have to do it alone. Now, we're going to move into why this is so important, why this divine order and why today is so important. But first, I'm not judgmental. Okay, I'm not judgy at all. At all. I don't have to go to great lengths to prove it. I just am. And if you know me even a little, you know it. You know it. I don't have to prove it, but that's why you have relationship first. Right? So that we know these things about each other. But the problem in culture, in the world, in our lives, is that to avoid loving you, and that equals avoiding certain subjects for the sake of maybe somebody will take it wrong, right? Or they'll take offense. Or they'll call me a name or not like me or not think I'm awesome or not want to be around me. Or you know what I'm talking about, right? That's just me and Tina, that one. We'll get there. It's not just us, I don't think. But the thing is, to avoid loving other people, to avoid loving each other, that is not, or to avoid loving each other to protect my image, right? Which I have absolutely no control over. I have no control over the response to the things I say. None. You will leave here and you will decide what I've said. Whether I've said it or not. Here's a funny story. I went to see a guy talk once. And he gave this amazing, amazing talk. And took everybody apart. And it was just the most beautiful message of love. But at one point in it, he told a story about homeless people trying to, they were being kicked out of Catholic churches in Philadelphia. They couldn't spend the night in Catholic churches. And he thought that that wasn't what a Jesus follower would do, kick homeless people out. It was his opinion. It was just a story. And we left and we were all like crying and going, that changes our whole life. And this one girl said, man, he really opened up on Catholic people. And I went, did you really miss the whole thing? Did you miss the whole point? And she did, because we don't have any control over how it's taken, right? You with me? So, to love me, to avoid loving you, which is loving me, is not the kind of thing that we're called into, is it? It's incredibly myopic, it's incredibly sinful, and the Bible has a word for it that starts with an I and rhymes with my-dolatry. It's that thing where I put me above everything else. Okay? And the other part of that is spending time proving what I'm not, trying to prove what I'm not, is wasteful. It's distracting, and it's keeping me from what I am. It's keeping me from my yes. I would suggest it's keeping all of us from our yes, from what we are. And my yes happens to be loving you and loving me and loving everybody else. That's my yes. That's my call. And when I'm just loving me, I can't do that. Right? And it's keeping me from my call, which could be helping us all to see that we don't have to live like that. That we don't have to do it alone. Sometimes somebody needs to sit across the table from us and say, man, this is breaking you, and you don't have to live like that anymore. And when we don't, it keeps happening. And it keeps breaking our hearts, and it keeps breaking the person that's across the table from us. Now, I haven't changed my mind. People still do what people do, right? People still do what people do. But that doesn't absolve us of the responsibility of loving them. Does it? Okay. It's my sin. It's my sin, and I need to love something more, and I do. And I do. I really do. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, and it's you. And it's me. And not this silly image of pretend me that I've been trying to build up and trying to make so that you all think I'm awesome and cool and not judgy at all. He's so great, right? That's not that. That's not the me that I love. In fact, I don't really like that me much at all. The me that I love is the actual child of God that's been rescued by Jesus. That me. That me. Amen. Amen. So, back to the order. There's a problem. There's a size of a problem. There is a size of the gift. And now what? The Bible goes into the now what. Because how are we supposed to know? Right? How are we supposed to know? We don't know how to play Fortnite. I'm an old man. I'm an old man. And my kids love Fortnite. They love Fortnite. And I sat down because I wanted to love what they love. So I said, will you teach me how to play Fortnite? There's too many buttons on the controllers. There's too many. I grew up with a joystick and one button. And the big step forward was a pad and two buttons. That was my Nintendo, okay? Now there's 85 buttons, six joysticks, and buttons on the top. And I don't know, and I got to look at it. So I can't learn how, I don't know how to play Fortnite unless somebody teaches me. I don't know how to play second base unless somebody teaches me. I don't know how to make a pie, plant a garden, build a deck. Unless somebody teaches me, right? Is that fair? You should see Millie's house. I'm sorry to call you out here. You should, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. All the plants are perfect. It looks like it's out of a magazine. It's so great and it's so wonderful to be there. If I was going to make an outside space, I'd call Millie, right? Somebody's got to teach us, right? How are we going to know? Sometimes we don't even know what we don't know, right? So somebody's got to teach us. So our now what? And the Bible is trying to teach us. That's what the Bible is. It's trying to teach us how to play second base. It's trying to teach us how to plant a garden or build a deck. Our now what might mean starting something brand new. And that's really hard to do because it often means stopping something, and we really hate to stop anything because it's comfortable and it's a nice old pair of jeans, right? We don't like that. We don't like to stop anything to start something new or better. The great lie of the enemy is not to get you to turn around or not to get you, when you think about sin, the great lie of the enemy isn't to have you turn around and not have any idea where the target is. It's to have you miss it by this much, because we can reason that away. We can reason it as good when God has great for us written on our souls. I want the best for you. And here we are settling for good, right? And now what might mean stopping something, okay? I have been afraid that if I reach out in love, and what this means is not me going around telling everyone where they're wrong. It's never this. This is the fear. I'm not that guy, okay? I make fun of that guy, and I'll never be that guy. So it's not going around telling people what to do all the time, because sometimes, as a wise man said in the Hunger Games trilogy, people don't show up like you want them to. That's not a sin. There's a verse that says, if your brother is in sin, just because I want them to be different, that's not a sin. Just because I want them to put their socks in the hamper. Just put them in the dirty clothes, man. That's not a sin. That's not a sin. That's just what I want, right? So, I have been afraid that if I reach out in love, and what that means is when we see something that's destructive, when we see someone who is on a path next to us, walking with us, who is taking themselves apart, loving them less, destroying themselves. You know what I'm talking about, right? I don't have to tell you. We probably know those parts in ourselves, right? We are afraid if we reach out in love, our input will be taken wrong. Have you ever been on the other side of that? I know it's just me. Maybe it'll happen to you someday too. That's why, and maybe it will. Maybe it will, but that's why relationship is so important. That's why I don't go up to the person at the Giant going, hey, you got to get it together, man, who I don't know. We have to have a relationship. We have to be walking with people, right? But how it's taken isn't for us to control. All that we can do is offer it in love and release it. We don't save anybody. Jesus alone. Jesus alone. I have a friend who had a friend who told her, Kim, sorry, I just made the name up. She said, you're not the Holy Spirit Junior. She says that all the time. And that's the truth. We don't save anyone, but we do speak out. We do carry each other. It's cool with me if he rolls around here. I don't mind at all. But we do speak out. We do carry each other. We do hold each other. We do teach each other in him and in love. Now, the other aside is the other part of our avoidance, of our condition, and of our now what's leave us on our own. If we stay quiet, it leaves us on our own to confront those areas that are damaging us. We stay stuck in our masochism. We stay stuck doing our violence to ourselves, because we can start to believe if nobody says it's wrong, maybe it's not. Maybe I'm supposed to feel like this. Maybe I'm not worth anymore. Right? Right? How powerful. Have you ever had somebody speak into your life and say, you're so much better than this? Can you? And your heart was going to explode. You're so much more than this. And you just feel like $1 million because most of the time everybody's acting like we're animals. Just chasing our base instincts around, right? We're not. But by not speaking out, it leaves us in that place where we're doing this violence to ourselves, and it leaves us alone to find purpose and meaning, and it leaves us alone trying to find what it means to step into what we've been created for. If we don't love each other, it gives the implication that we do have to live like that, right? Amen. This is where Joy would say, amen. Joy's in New Hampshire. I can hear her from here. That's the thing. We have to live like that. We have to live like that's all we're worth and like we're alone in this quiet desperation. And that, friends, is what we've all been coming to. That is the implication that we can no longer live with. You have seen the downward spiral. Look on Facebook. I'm so angry about this because we've been on a spiral where nobody's told us, you're better than this, man. You don't have to be so mean and awful to each other, right? Somebody has to. Somebody has to stand up. And if we don't, it just keeps happening. The reason all of these problems are the way they are is because nobody stood up and said anything when we saw them first. So they keep growing. They keep growing and growing and growing. And then they're ivy that's taken over a whole house. We can't even see the house anymore. I've had it. I've had it with that, man. Today we talk about the bridge. Next week we talk about the world. Tikkun Olam is a Jewish term for how we affect the world. Okay? And that's what we talk about next week when we get back into John. I need you to know and understand, regardless of my past actions or where there have been misunderstandings because of my decisions, I am in it with you. We are here together. We are doing this together. This is the point of community, and this is why God gave us the church. So now, are you ready? This is a new day. This is a new life. God didn't come to make it better. To make us better, to make our world better. He came to make us new. New. That's it. It wasn't just to make our lives a little bit better, to take us from a 5 to a 6. He came to throw the whole scale away. We're new. There's an 8th day, and if you don't understand that, please reach out to me because I have a really, really cool story about the Bible for you. It's an 8th day. The world is new. It's a brand new creation. It's a new Exodus. It's a new day. It's a new life. We are all new creations. We are the church. And if you listened 2 weeks ago, that's a big, big deal. We are the church. I should have put that in all caps. We are the church. These are the clothes that Jesus has laid out for us. So let's put them on. They're on the bed. Why are we going in the closet looking for anything else? Jesus put them out for us. Let's put them on and change our lives. And in that, change the world, change everything. Let's live the faith that we have been given. Let's live the story. Let's live the gospel with every breath, every step, every moment of our lives. Amen, sister. Thank you.
All right. This month's song of the month is a little bit different. It's more of a benediction. And I had a track for it, but it was a little too high or too low. So I'm going to do it without music. So here we go. It's called I Will Go by Crystal Lewis.
He said, come and follow me. I'm calling you. I want you to be a fisherman to fish for those who are drowning in the scowling sea. A sea of loneliness and pain, confusion, hurt, worry, shame. I'm holding out my hands and yet they don't hear me call their names. I want you to be the one to tell them that the kingdom's come and give them all the truth and joy you've been given by the Son. Will you go wherever I lead? Be light in the dark and be salt in the street. Will you go no matter the cost? Will you live for the lost so they'll know of the cross? Will you go? I said, oh no, Lord, not me. I'm not good enough to call you, see. I mean, what if they laugh or worse? Start throwing things and I get hurt. Besides that, what would I say? I think there's been a big mistake. Lord, please ask this of someone else. I can't go, I'm too afraid. But I want you to be the one to tell them that the kingdom's come and give them all the truth and joy you've been given by the Son. Will you go wherever I lead? Be light in the dark and be salt in the street. Will you go no matter the cost? Will you live for the lost so they'll know of the cross? Will you go? And he said, yes, some will cover their ears and they will not want to hear. But you must stand and say it still. Be brave, my child, and do not fear. For it is my words you'll speak, and I promise I will keep you safe and sound within my will. I'm your strength when you're weak, 'cause I want you to be the one to tell them that the kingdom's come and give them all the truth and joy you've been given by the Son. I will go wherever you lead. Be light in the dark and be salt in the street.